afternoon, good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, America, from California. Rodney and Brian coming at you from California. Right mind on the left coast, independently. No political spin here. No Fox News, no MSNBC. We just talk a lot of smack about people we don't think are doing the right thing. Brian, are you with me? Is Brian here? All right. Brian's dialing in. So I thought I was the one that was always late. I'll have to give Brian a hard time. So you know how it goes. Actually, tonight we want to talk about the fact I think Brian's got a couple ideas for us here. Discussing the needs of the few outweigh the needs of the many. I think we're going to be talking about where in the world did personal responsibility go to? If you screw up and do something stupid, I think redneck comedy, Jeff Foxworthy, blue collar, you got, you got to tie down the TV set so it can't fall on their head. He said, well, hell, if it falls on your head once or twice, you won't do that again. And yeah, that's true. You know, our parents used to let us beat the hell out of each other and ourselves and scrape ourselves up and hurt ourselves, and Dad would say, suck it up. Nowadays, it's who can I sue? Who can I blame? Who can I point the finger at? Brian, are you here yet? We're waiting for Brian still. Where is he at? Bad boy, Brian. Okay. There we go. So, I know we're going to be discussing the Chris Christie situation, the bridge fiasco, and we've got quite a few other things on the palette here. It's kind of like in politics with the state capitol. Everybody wants to talk about whose fault it is. And I'm pretty sure if you polled the people in America, they are all on one side. Just do your job. Where is the responsibility for the job you were elected to do? It's not our problem to be the ones that have to tell you how to do your job, and we elected you to do it. We don't re-elect you. Unfortunately, we consistently keep re-electing people that shouldn't be in office. So hold on. Brian, are you there? He says he was here. Now he's not here. So I know tonight you've got, as you call in tonight, where are you at? What are you doing? Are you working on a campaign? Are you a candidate for a campaign? It's actually been an exciting week for me because working with the Strategic Political Alliance Network, SPAN, CORE, Sarah CORE, Abigail Cornwell out of Washington, D.C., we got Jennifer Montrose in Alabama. We've got an amazing team. Dara Bailey in San Diego. You've got Martita, our Wonder Girl, who I think still oversees somewhere in the Philippines or something like that. We picked up Alabama 7th Congressional District, Matt Jenkins for Congress this week. We've got Andre from New York, Congressional District 18. We're actually in talking with some fabulous California races this week. We've got, like I said, Andre Barnett from New York, Congressional District 18. Last night I was on the phone with Rodney Lee Conover. You guys have heard him on the radio show on Tuesday nights with Parental Sovereignty Radio and Scott Osborne and the team. And he's running for Congressional District 15 in California and the San Bernardino County. And then, of course, I'm actually doing graphics right now for Rich Kinney for Assembly District 15 out of the Bay Area. And, of course, our favorite, Tim Donnelly for California State Governor. So it's looking good. I'm kind of excited. Brian, are you here? Brian. He says he's waiting. So let's see if we can let him in here. Unmute Brian Scott. Is Scott Osborne here? Scott went and moved to Texas. I'm so upset with him. He left us. So, and also, you know, we want to hear from Dave Miller tonight because we want to hear all about SPAN, Strategic Political Alliance Network. It's fabulous. The new group, the A-Team from California, taking on the campaigns nobody else wants, all the candidates that are going to be ignored. It's a good thing. I think it's time. And the only campaigns they pay attention to is you have candidates that have all the money, all the establishment. Why do you think we keep reelecting the same people over and over again that aren't doing their job? I love the idea of having a bunch of candidates that they don't have the money yet. They're not politically savvy. They're also not in it for the money, the glory, and the fame. That's for sure. Talking with Matt Jenkins today. You know, you'll hit the point. You'll be all mad at me as your campaign manager. You'll be sick and tired of it. Told his wife, I said, when he hits the point where he says, I can't stand Rodney, still hand him the phone. So, Brian, are you here? Still waiting for Brian to join us here. And then we got Dave Miller coming here soon. I think Scott is in Texas and not able to unmute the people on the phone. Brian's waiting on hold. He can probably hear me talking about him, so I should say something goofy about Brian. Did you guys know that when Brian was a kid? No, I'm just kidding. We've got, here we go. Brian's coming in now. Holding here. I think also I got to talk to Brian about the games this weekend. What in the world happened? Brian says he's been on hold the whole time. The error's not his. But Brian's there and he can't respond. That could be so much fun. You know, Brian, I could give you such a hard time right now, but I won't. Then you're thinking, I want Brian's opinion because, you know, skipping politics side. The Niners for the Super Bowl, where are we? I'm actually thinking they beat Seattle Seahawks by 11 points. I know people don't think that's true. So, Dave Miller, are you there? Dave Miller's here. Brian Dawson's here. No one can get in. Let's see here. Dave Miller. Dave. Brian. Neither one of you guys. You can hear me. You're both typing to me, but neither one of you guys can talk. Hold on a second. Yes, Dave says affirmative. So, let's see here. Can we do it from my side? You can hear me, Dave. Yes, I know you can hear me, Dave. We're trying to get you unmuted. So, trying to get Scott here. Okay, we're trying to open the studio. And so we got a studio at his house, so in Texas. And then we got Dave here. Dave says, duh. That's not funny, Dave. I'm gonna not let you talk about SPAN. I'm going to throw some hard questions at you. And then Brian. Brian Dawson says, can you hear me? No, Brian. Everyone in America is waiting for you, Brian. And Dave Miller. You guys are just going to have to sit there and listen to me ramble on. I know Dave's all happy and excited. Dave Miller is a fantastic closet Republican and a 49er fan. He loves the 49ers, and he's so excited they're going to... Dave's typing things to me right now. He loves the Niners. He can't wait for the Super Bowl. And I know a lot of you guys on my Facebook post, how many of you guys actually got to see the rest? Brian!
Thank you. I've been here this whole time, dude. You're driving me nuts.
Yep. Dave Miller's talking smack. Niners versus Broncos. Yeah. That might be a good game. At least, as I told Brian earlier, you know, if it's Denver versus the Niners with Peyton Manning for a quarterback, the score won't be 55-3 like it was last time we played each other Super Bowl.
Don't speak right. So quickly there.
What? You think Peyton would throw that bad, only score 3 points in a game?
Peyton's been known to – Peyton's my favorite quarterback, but I have a Peyton Manning poster in my closet behind my clothes. That's the only place my wife will let me put it. He has been known to have really, really bad days.
Well, yeah, that's true. So, and I think we also have Dave Miller coming on here to talk about the Span team. But with you, personal responsibility.
Yes.
The needs.
What do you
want to
know about it?
Well, let's start with the Chris Christie bridge fiasco, dude.
Well, I think that with Chris Christie, I mean, we're still learning, you know, the full truth, if we will ever get the full truth about his involvement. But I think the one thing that we can all acknowledge is when it comes to, if Chris Christie's name was, say, Barack Obama, and one of his part of his administration had done something like this, people would be going nuts right now. You know, Fox News would have it with a cool graphic on the show, and like, you know, it's a lack of leadership. And the sad thing is I like Chris Christie, and I'm very tough on Republicans, but I've always liked Chris Christie because I feel like he's a straight shooter.
Dave, mute your phone for a second. Go ahead.
What was that?
You there? All right, tell him Dave Miller to mute his phone for a second. Okay. Well, continue what you're saying.
No, I'm just, it's you know, either he's involved, which makes it sinister, or he wasn't involved, and it was done strictly by, you know, the staff that he's let go. And either way, he doesn't come out of it looking well, because either he's a really bad guy, or he's a guy that can't even manage his own staff, let alone the country. You know, and I think it has implications for 2016. So, I don't know.
See,
I'm really
disappointed. I find it amazing. I'm glad you went there, because I think it's funny. I watched TV today, MSNBC, CNN, tonight on Nightline News, every single one of them going crazy on Chris Christie and how messed up this is, and I have two issues with it. If it was a guy named Barack Obama, and you and I had this argument on our last show, you can't expect him to manage his whole staff. He's the president of the country, and he shouldn't have to take responsibility for what his staff does, and I've had this issue. At least I get
now you're using apples and oranges. No, you can't do that. We were talking about the launching of a website. This is his deputy chief.
We're talking about launching your legacy health care, not just the website. That's what I was talking about. Overall health care. He did not meet with his head of Health and Human Services before Obamacare was launched.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but I mean, I went and did some research, and you are so far off that it's not even close. Like, you're not even in the ballpark of reality. You're in a universe all on your own. He did not meet with Kathleen before the launching of the initiative of the ACA or the website. This is the argument we had last time.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a website and trying to spin it as if it was the launching of the ACA. Now, and they're two different things.
How do you figure?
How do I figure? Okay, I will break it down for you. One is an act of Congress signed by the president that reforms health insurance. The other one is the launching of a website. Don't make me walk you along the differences here. I'll go get Schoolhouse Rocks, and we'll do the It's a Bill thing.
Okay. So, we've been talking healthcare for 20 years or longer. Obama comes into office. He's going to give universal healthcare to America. He gets Congress
to
pass
it. He never said he was going to give universal healthcare to, never once.
What did he say? Why did he attach his name to it?
What did he say? He said he wanted to ensure the millions of Americans who don't have health insurance. He never gave you, from when he ran for president, a clear cut what he was exactly going to do. Because you know just as well as I do, is that the president can have these great ideas, but there's this thing called the House that gets their say, and there's this thing called the Senate that gets their say. All right? So you know that just as well as I do. Okay? And never from 2008 on, or actually 2006, like 2007, did he ever give a clear cut, give you a copy of the ACA? You know it. Because one of your biggest complaints is that the ACA was shoved down everyone's throat. So how can you say something was shoved down someone's throat that he was toting around from day one? That's not the truth.
So he hasn't stood up and said that he's proud of the fact that it got passed. He was proud to sign the legislation. He's proud to call it Obamacare.
Of course he is. And millions of Americans are proud of it. I don't.
Okay.
See, here's the thing. When we've talked about this before, no matter who's president, whether it's a Democrat, Republican, Independent, or the Communist Party of the United States, whoever gets elected president of the United States, I will not in any way, shape, or form spend my time actively rooting against the United States, which is what you're doing. And I've told you this before.
No, it's not what I'm doing. How this conversation started is what Christie did and what Obama does are two completely different things.
No, they're apples and oranges.
We've had multiple – no, let's skip healthcare. We've had multiple problems, including the IRS. His head of the IRS resigned. Christie stood up and said, this is my fault. I'm disgusted, and I fired
myself.
He
never said this is my fault. He never said it's my fault. You got to send me that clip because I watched that 900-hour press conference, and he never once said it was my fault.
Okay, well, let's find it.
Because if it is his fault, why would you fire two people? Wouldn't you resign? You know? But it's
him taking responsibility. Him taking responsibility and apologizing for the actions of his staff, whether he knew or not. And if he didn't know, he still apologized for their actions.
And we're going to talk about this again. So what you still are harping on, and this is how desperate and how sad the, you know, conservative America is that you are still crying about the fact that Obama hasn't come out and said, hey, I'm sorry for the website launch, guys. Is that
I'm sorry for the IRS director. I'm sorry for the NSA issue. I'm sorry for Fast and Furious.
This is the first time it's happened. You really think
I
that
have yet to
when
see
Obama was
stand
elected,
up and apologize for anything.
You think when Obama was elected in 2008 was the first time we decided to spy on our own citizens? Really?
Oh, so it's not an issue?
I don't get this.
I don't really care. They can tap my phone.
Exactly.
I want to buy the new Verizon plan. You know, I just pick up the phone, say Obama, Tea Party, and hang up, and the White House will call you back.
This is the problem I have with your viewpoint on a lot of these issues, Rodney, and with conservative America. Barack Obama could come to conservative America, and he could say, guys, I've learned how to defecate golden eggs, and I've got one for every single one of you. And you guys would look at the eggs, and then you'd look back at Obama, and you'd say, why aren't they platinum? That's the thing. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Really?
It's ridiculous.
So because some Republicans have gone a little too far, we should all just ignore it, screw it, let him do what he wants. No personal responsibility.
No. But that's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is don't play the game of spin and pretend that these things from the IRS to the NSA and on down the line, aren't things that happen to every. See, every president does it. Every president makes mistakes. Every president does not say they're sorry. Some do, some don't. If you look
you know,
at the history,
one time on the radio, you made a comment, don't get a second term. You made a comment one time about us defending George Bush, and what was my answer?
What? No,
my comment was, defending George Bush, have I ever defended George Bush's actions?
You
have
want
I ever
an apology for
actions?
The launching of a website, but yet you don't want an apology from a man or expect an apology from a man that put this country into two wars, spent over $1 trillion.
Have I ever said that?
He put our
have
men and women
said,
in harm's way.
Have I ever defended the mistakes that George Bush made? Brian,
okay,
have I ever defended the mistakes that George Bush made?
No, but yet
no,
you
I won't
also
defend
weren't
him.
Going around expecting an apology either. Because this is it.
The president of the United States is an incredibly difficult guy on Hannity and Combs, head to head with Cindy Sheehan. Okay.
Just Cindy Sheehan.
Yeah, we went head to head on Hannity and Combs one time, or well, anti-war protesting crap. But no, Bush made mistakes. I've not tried to make it rosy and stuff, but I'm just amazed that Obama can do no wrong.
No one's ever said Obama can do no wrong. I'm the hardest on Obama of anyone I know, and I voted for him twice. I'm incredibly disappointed in a lot of avenues. You know, for example, there hasn't been one fundamental change in the way that we do business as a government. Not one. And I was promised a bunch of them. The other thing I don't like is Obama doesn't take a stand. He waits until polling tells him that the public are in favor of it. What I want is I want a president who walks into the Oval Office and on day one grabs a pen like Harry Truman did and says, I'm going to desegregate the military because it's the right thing to do. I'm not going to spend $1 million on polling so I can make sure that everyone, likes it before I do it. I am not Obama's cheerleader, but at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and let people attack a guy for something that everyone does. It's the presidency. Since the 24-hour news cycle came about, it's just spin, 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 spin. Spin, spin, spin.
Well, actually,
and it's just absurd to me that...
I got three people unmuted, and I know Dan Miller's one of them. Who else do we have on the line?
Scott, they hung up. Scott,
though. Huh?
Scott?
Scott? McNeil?
Scott.
Scott. Hello, Scott.
What's happening?
Oh, Scott Osborne, how you doing?
No, not Scott Osborne. Come on.
No, McNeil.
Hello.
What's up, Mr. McNeil? You know, I just talked to Tad Burke tonight, as a matter of fact. So how you doing? How's your race going for county supervisor in El Dorado County?
You know, the race is going great, and I need to thank you, first of all, Rodney, for all the stuff you do. I know a lot of it goes unsung, but what you do for the military and the veterans, a veteran myself, I know what families go through, and what you do is my hat's off to you. You're fantastic, and what you do really has an impact, so thank you.
Well,
thank you,
Rodney. What county is he running for? In what county?
El Dorado.
I didn't hear that.
El Dorado.
Okay. Yep. So you got a comment for Brian or I? Question?
Well, you know, I was listening to this. I was on mute, but it's a very engaging conversation. I'm not obviously a fan of Obama. I hear you, I guess, Brian, going on with the, every president does it. I just seen it a little while ago, so maybe I missed the part where it doesn't make it right. That's all I have to say on that aspect, because I haven't listened to the entire conversation you guys got going, but it's not right. And I like the
what's
comment
not,
about the Verizon
curious,
thing.
What's not right, though?
What's not right is...
That they make mistakes?
No, that they should not be engaging or secretly, covertly, whatever you want to use analogy-wise, listening in on American citizens. It's a free country. I know there's a protection line that we need to be held to held under, but at the same time, the government should not be gathering information on its citizens. It just shouldn't be that way. And you go back as far as saying that the government's been doing it forever. I don't know if they've been doing it forever. I know they've been doing it for a while, but it's not right.
What I meant by forever is, the ability to spy on a large number of people is a relatively new thing. Technology has made it easier and easier.
Of course, absolutely.
But you can go back, you know, 40, 50 years, and depending on which group you were in, and I could give some examples, Black Panther Party,
sure.
Anyone who did anything that somehow, you know, went against the norm, they were spied on. They were,
well, sure.
You know,
yeah,
it,
yeah, I don't know if you're
it's
spying.
It's just a lot
spying.
Easier now.
Well, the spying, are you referring to the spy being the CIA, foreign countries type spying, or is the FBI just doing research on certain groups? What are you referring to when
well,
you say spying?
I mean, I guess you could say research. I understand, you know, with the Black Panther Party, you would call it research, but with Dr. Martin Luther King, I wouldn't call it research. I would call it spying. They were looking for something. You know, I don't know why, but, you know, he's Dr. Martin Luther King. I think that we've been spying for a long time. Since what? The Bay of Pigs? After that, we learned our lesson? I don't have a problem with it personally. And I also think that the problem is we've never clearly defined how much freedom we're willing to give up for security. And you do have to give up a certain amount of freedom for security, but we've never clarified that as a people. Maybe that's the problem.
I think that is the crux of the problem. However, it's just carte blanche right now. They're just taking and collecting and doing whatever they will with it, and they're having, I think, civilian companies involved, in, i.e. Google and any other companies, Verizon that Rodney had mentioned.
Yes.
All these companies are tag teaming, and they're all saying, hey, let's just do it, and we can help the government,
yes.
We can make money on this. But the facts
yes.
are that they're collecting stuff that they shouldn't be on law-abiding citizens. And as far as spying goes, what's that?
I would not disagree with you.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like I said, I just came in halfway through the conversation. It sounded like it was pretty good going on there, so I was really enjoying listening to it. Both you and Rod.
Yeah, my problem is so you understand, is I'm not a Democrat or a Republican.
Uh-huh.
I believe, as George Washington believed, that political parties create factions, and factions are treasonous.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think the problem here is I am often put in a position where I have to defend a man I don't really want to defend. Because, you know, words seem to change meanings, like common sense and,
oh, absolutely.
And objectivity and
absolutely.
Stuff like that. I mean, objectivity is a word now that simply means anyone who agrees with me. And, you know, it's hard for me because there are times where people, like me and Rodney, go back and forth over this website thing.
Sure.
And there are plenty of examples throughout Obama's administration where I would totally agree with tons of criticism. And it's just the ones that for some reason seem to get picked up and thrown around social media always seem to be the ones, to me at least, that are very petty in the long scheme of things. I'm not talking about the NSA. But
no, and I couldn't agree with you more, Brian. I just the word that really hasn't changed over the years, though, that I am a big proponent of, and that's common sense. You can change to progressives and all the other words we use nowadays, but common sense mm-hmm. to me has never changed, and that's what we need to get back to, and that's my whole push. You know, no matter what your party affiliation is, I am a Republican, and I'm proud
mm-hmm.
of it. I'm more of a conservative, not a Tea Party guy, but I believe everybody needs to be heard, and it's just common sense. What are the needs?
You have to excuse my ignorance. Where is El Dorado up by you, Rodney?
Now, that hurts. Now, come on, Rodney. If he's nearby, smack him in the head.
So,
no,
where's El Dorado County?
West of
Sacramento. El Dorado County is my county.
East of Sacramento.
Okay,
east
thank
of Sacramento.
And
about
you're running
county.
For county supervisor?
Yes.
Yep.
And do you have any electoral experience, or is this your first shot?
No, actually, I have a little bit over 3 years into Cameron Park CSD. I was elected in 2010 to that seat.
Oh, Community Service District.
Correct, for the
yes.
community of Cameron Park, about 18,000 people.
Okay.
This term is up as District 4. It's a rural district. Ron Briggs, the present supervisor, terms out this, I guess, November will be his last month or December. And the election is this November. So timing-wise, it's great. I think there's a need for it in the county. I think there's a need mm-hmm. for it in all government levels of people who aren't politicians but just need to get the work done. The work that really needs to get done is not.
Yeah, my grandmother used to talk to me about a thing that you see rarely these days, and she would use the word citizen legislator. And it was people who felt by, you know, whatever their desire to serve was, they had no real ambitions for further office or monetary ambitions. And I highly respect people who do want to serve their communities for pure, I guess would be the word, reasons. What are some of the issues that you have, you know, coming up in El Dorado County?
Let me just tell you, as far as the political world, I would be the poster child for this guy will never, ever be in politics. I did aircraft control. I mean, I just wouldn't.
No,
I
beat you there.
I voted every election cycle. I always did, always voted. And this was not for me. When you see the stuff going on, I don't see a whole lot of separation between parties. I'm thinking, what are we doing here? And we had a business in Cameron Park, and I retired in 2011. Our store, I think we started in 08, and some people said, yeah, you got a good personality, you should try this. It's not for me. But long story short, we ended up running the campaign, and it was fun. We had a good time, met a lot of folks, and realized, you know, maybe we can do something, because this is the kind of person you need here. You want somebody that's not trying to just needs a job, not trying to be something else, doesn't want the glamour, because it's not much glamour, let me tell you.
No, it's not.
I mean, people, you never please everybody, and what a shock it is to have somebody saying, and yelling in your face, like, what? You're going to be kidding me. But anyways, it's incredible.
Scott.
Yeah.
Scott, do you have a minute to stay on the phone? Because I want to bring in, we have a caller from the 559 area code. What's your name? Caller from 559?
Sounded like they hung up.
County. Okay. They were unmuted.
Okay.
Scott.
Are they there?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
You asked me a question earlier.
I want to give you. Yeah, go ahead. Finish.
Well, I just want to say, you asked a long about story. Been in it 3.5 years now and actually enjoy it. But I'm retired, and I want to go with my wife and enjoy our motorhome, go places. But it really is, you know, the Rotary has the service above self. It really is what you need to do to be, I think, successful and have an impact on government. We can't change it. We can't only be in this little piece of this wheel for just a short period of time. But if we can have just enough of a change that people say, you know what, that's what I want, and then somebody else picks it up and runs with it. But I can't sit back when I'm 80 or whatever it is and say, man, if I had only tried. My whole life has been led that way. I can't do it. It's not in me to just say, well, let somebody else deal with it. I'm young, somewhat, be 55 this year. I just have to do this. And, you know, we're going to give it a heck of a run. And when we get in office, we're going to give the county a new look, a new day.
That's fantastic. It's funny that you said that once you get in office. One of the things I always tell people is there's 1,000 books on how to win an election, but there's hardly any of what to do once you have won your election.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of the things that you would like to do in El Dorado County if elected?
You know, and I don't know how wide-reaching your radio program goes, so I hope I don't alienate anybody up in the El Dorado County area, but there's a culture, if you will, in El Dorado County. I love El Dorado County. We're very blessed to be here. But there's all these little special interests, and you can almost, if you close your eyes, you can hear the little murmurs and the backhand shakes and all these other weird things that go on. It's probably just politics. But in El Dorado County, to me, it's having been around the country and around the world, you see it. And you think, you know, people want the county to be a certain way, but they want their government to be approachable. They want it to be open. They want to be able to get stuff done. They want to go to our county office. They want a permit on something and not be told, you can't do that. What?
Or that it costs $30,000.
If they get to the point where, okay, yeah, here's, you know, we'll take your money and then disapprove it later on. It's just there's a culture in El Dorado County that has to be changed. And right now the biggest issue with El Dorado County, I mean, financially they're doing all right, but there's a big no-growth movement. And I'm not a growth fan. I'm not a no-growth fan. I'm a get all the information, listen to all the parties. The builders are not the enemy. They bring jobs. But sometimes their plans and their projects won't fit into what we need as a county, what we need as a people. Mm-hmm. And right now they're crossing the arms and you're hearing supervisors say, we're going to disallow you to do an EIR study. It's like, wait a minute. I sat there and I saw this room full of people saying, yeah, right on, when they couldn't do that. You can't tell a company to say you can't spend your money to do something on your own. You can't do that. But it's pandering. We've got to get away from that. We've got to say, listen, you know, this is the builders, whatever it is, they're not the enemy. They have a project, whatever it is. Let's hear it out. Let's hear what the people say. What are the county's needs? The five supervisors will then make an informed decision with the staff input and everything else. Do that. Stop with the special interest, because I think no growth is nothing more than a special interest. It's just one for no growth.
You know, what was your last name, sir?
McNeil.
McNeil. I think being someone who has, I think the smaller the office, when you get away from the assembly and you start getting into the county and even smaller like a CSD, hyper-local things are just an animal.
It's
totally different.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't understand that for the most part, your county is the most important, you know, aspect of government to your daily life.
Absolutely.
And
land use. That's it.
Yes, exactly.
It's huge.
One of the
water.
Problems, yep. One of the biggest problems I have with no-growth people who are strictly no-growth is that in a post-Prop 13 world, one of the only ways for, you know, local government and municipalities to be able to afford to pay for any type of capital improvement that would be necessary is through usually mitigation fees, which
right.
come with development. Now, I'm not saying that we should just let developers go willy-nilly, but at the same time, we do have to understand that development can be beneficial. It can be part of the community and actually improve it.
Well, we have a motion, or not a motion, but a move right now to just stop it, just basically shut it down. And that's probably fine if you're here, but I have kids, 19 and 20, just turned 22. They can't afford a house here. They can't get a job here. There's nothing, no real jobs here unless you're in the county or the casino or Blue Shield. I mean, there's not any jobs in this county. So why can't we get some jobs here? I mean, and there'll be a need for homes then. There's a way to do it. And I hate to say smart growth because that's one of those one words you can't say is common sense. Smart growth is one that's been kind of scabbed over from somebody else saying it means something else. But how about intelligence? Just think through what we want. Where do we want to be in 20, 30 years? And then go
for it. I use the word controlled growth.
Okay.
In a lot of circumstances outside, when you get into, say, a CSD level or even under the county, a lot of CSDs have no authority over land use. And
we
most
do not.
Of the,
absolutely.
You know, then you have to go to LAFCO.
Yep.
And, you know, you have to understand the process. And one of the things that always really made me want to pull my hair out is that people would come to, you know, whatever your board meeting is, and they would start hooting and hollering no growth stuff without understanding that the whole LAFCO process is already finished.
Yep.
And now you're yelling at me because you're not informed.
Well, where are you, Brian? Where are you actually located?
I'm in Livermore.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I have
And actually up here, you know, Brian, the comment you just made about, you know, once something's going on and then it's like they're yelling at Scott or they're yelling at our city council, they're yelling at our county supervisors, why are you guys doing this? And I'm trying to tell them, you know, it's like up here the city is trying to raise water rates. And this happened a couple years back, but people were just up in arms about how, you know, recall the whole city council and this is all their fault. Well, we had just built a brand new water treatment facility and got a national award for how well it was built and how well it did for purifying water and everything like that. But one whack of the California State Legislature and their treatment facility was outdated and not up to speed regulation right after it
got
built. And they were forced,
I'm so glad you brought that
to
up,
do
Rodney.
Massive, massive retrofitting of it, and it cost a buttload of money.
Yeah.
And they had no choice. It's like, you have to raise water rates. We can't help it. And it's not the city council's fault. It's the people you keep putting at the dome in Sacramento.
Yeah. The Sacramento has a tendency of creating what I call moving targets for local governments, and you know, one of them are like salinity regulations that are coming down the pipe, and then after salinity, it's going to be pharmaceuticals, and after pharmaceuticals, it's going to be whatever's next, and it just really shows so much special interest, especially when you take into consideration, you know, those of us who are around the Delta or Delta communities, a lot of the reasons that they're imposing these salinity standards is because the bill that they put forward was, you know, pretty much written by Metropolitan Water in Southern California, and they would rather us clean the water before we ship it down so they don't have to clean it. And you have to really understand that all these things, there's always an agenda. There's always a reason. I mean, we push conservation measures, but then we'll say things like, hey, you know, you really should have a water meter, but you don't need to do it until 2025, which always blows my mind. And then you end up with communities where new homes are mandated to have a water meter, but old homes that were grandfathered in are not until 2025, and that creates problems for, you know, water boards, because you have to juggle the fact that half your constituents and ratepayers pay on their property tax a bulk, you know, a one-time fee, and then other people pay based on usage. And it creates a lot of misunderstanding. It creates a lot of problems. I think one of the biggest problems for California local government is Sacramento.
Well, and, you know, Brian, one thing that's going to scare the hell out of me, you know, this new budget that Brown just put out, and then on top of that, you've got the Prop 80-32, the global warming stuff, the cap and trade coming into effect. And
you know what the funniest thing about cap and trade, Rodney? Is
what?
20 years ago, you were for it. Now you're against it. I don't get it.
How do you
wait a minute?
How do you figure?
He was for it before he was against it? What?
I'm making a joke.
How do you figure
it
out? How do you,
guys, I need to jump off. I'm not sure what your format is, but I got to go. But I want to say, Rodney, I think you're an underappreciated El Dorado County resource. I appreciate everything you do. And Brian, you sound like a fascinating guy. And I could listen to you.
Do you have a website or anything that people could go
McNeil,
check you out at?
VoteScottMcNeil.com. Check it out. And, Brian, I could sit and listen to you for a long – I might just listen to you off the air when I get done with my next phone call. But
you guys
are great. You do a great service. And
Good luck on your race, sir.
Well, thanks very much. You guys have a great night, and thanks for what you do.
Thank you, Scott. Yes, actually, I was talking to Scott's campaign manager tonight because we're going to be printing some stuff for Scott.
I thought when you said Scott, it was the other Scott, too.
Yeah, no, we thought Scott Osborne. Scott Osborne apparently doesn't have – that's why you didn't get taken off mute quick enough. He's using his phone for running the studio right now because he doesn't have internet at a place in Texas yet.
Oh, yeah, because Texas is 20 years behind, right?
Yeah, like that, yeah.
That was a joke.
But, you know, yeah. So I think we have somebody else on unmuted. Is there?
Hello, anyone?
Nope,
Bueller?
Okay. So,
Bueller?
Yeah, no doubt. Anyone? Anyone? So – two things. So back to Chris Christie.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's like, what else is he supposed to do? He fired him. And, you know,
I mean,
there's a small, tiny piece of me that think it's freaking hysterical. Shut the bridge down.
The only thing that bothered me about it, and you know I'm all for political retribution. I think, you know, to the victors go the spoils. But at the same time, you know, he did kind of put some people's life in danger. And on a side note, did you hear about the people suing over it? Talk about ridiculous.
What?
Yeah, I saw it on
really?
CNN like 2 or 3 days ago. There's a group of people that were stuck in the traffic that are now suing. And I was thinking that we could start anyone who drives on Highway 4, we should just start suing for traffic. That sounds American. Yeah, people are suing.
No, when
it comes to Christie, look, he is stuck between a hard place and a hand grenade. I mean, there's really nothing that he can do at this time that is going to please everybody. And like I said before, I like Chris Christie. I like his brashness. I like his honesty. I think Chris Christie is the kind of guy who does what's best for his constituents. You know, he tries to make the right decision and not the popular one. And it's really unfortunate that this has happened at this time. I think the only thing he could do, Rodney, would be complete transparency. Open up the emails, you know, whatever. Put it all out on the table and see where it falls.
Well, unfortunately, no matter whether those emails work to his advantage or not his advantage, and I'm just going to put this out there on a general purpose, I got news for you. Any Republican who says even remotely thinking of running for president or is on the grapevine as might run for president or even attend CPAC the weekend of March 9th, they're going to get trashed. Anything you do is going to be something that's driving me crazy. You know, nobody can beat up on Obama, but if it's a Republican, they come up with some of the dumbest crap in the world. And they trash
no one can beat up on Obama.
His comment. Then get away with it without, you know, we're
I don't know.
Means,
I've seen,
you know,
I've seen plenty of people beat up on Obama and get away with it. I've seen them
yeah,
put
and,
Hitler stashes
and,
on his photo, dress him up like a tribal leader.
Oh,
you
don't
know,
even.
Like, so that's,
don't even. When Bush was in, they were hanging effigies of him and burning him on fire with nooses
and
around
I
his
neck. I never agreed with that. I think what's the most important thing is whether or not I voted for or supported whoever wins an election and becomes president of the United States, in my opinion, they deserve a certain level of respect. They're the president of the United States, and I'm an American. And, you know, I had a very hard time because when Bush was in office, I was, you know, I was in college, and people were just going crazy, and, you know, Bush never did anything good, and he's an idiot. And, like, I want to be like, you know, I'd like to see you get C's at, you know, Yale or wherever he went, you know, let alone get into Yale. I thought it was horrible then. I think it's horrible now. I'll think it's horrible when it's the next person. But
yeah.
I don't think that's going
well,
to change.
I just think it's funny. They can't say anything about Barack Obama without it being you're a racist or you're being a jerk or it always happened or that's the way it goes and et cetera, et cetera. I remember they trashed Bush because he said he was a veteran and they went, he was only in the National Guard. It's like, really?
Yeah, but it's just,
the National Guard is the military.
The fact that George Bush made a career out of tearing apart people's patriotism. And I can give you a list of guys from you know, John McCain down the line. It's a hard thing because I agree with you, and I think George Bush got hosed. I don't necessarily agree with hardly anything he did. I do think that there were certain things he handled horribly, but I can do that for every president. Every president I can pick out at least one thing that I thought you did wrong. But at the same time, there's a lot of good that he did that no one talks about. One of my favorite things that Bush did was he stopped giving monetary aid to Africa. You know, a lot of people don't understand that when you give monetary aid to Africa, it rarely gets to the people that need it. So instead of giving $1 billion for malaria, you know, prevention, what he did was he had military doctors. My cousin was one of them who went. He went to Nigeria, and they gave them actual mosquito nets. I mean, there are places in Africa in doctors' offices where they still have signs that say malaria is not caused by evil spirits. You know, I think that there's a lot of things that Bush did that you can point to and say that wasn't bad or that was good. It's all a matter of opinion, of course.
Yeah.
But this whole thing you're doing no one can attack Obama, you obviously haven't watched Fox News or been on the internet lately.
Yes, we have Fox News, and our side gets attacked by CNN and MSNBC. But, you know, you and I have talked about the fact that the partisanship in politics is pretty pathetic. But not being a partisan politician. And Matt, are you on the line?
I am.
Yeah, see, I want to introduce you, Brian, to my newest candidate, the next U.S. congressman from the state of Alabama in the 7th Congressional District, Matt Jenkins.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Good evening.
Yes. Yes, yes. So, whose wife, actually, Brian, is from Petaluma.
Oh, really?
So, she's a Raider fan, but she told me I can't hold it against her.
Oh, that's too bad. Too bad. Yeah. We all have our bad taste, I guess.
So how you doing, Matt?
Doing great. Weather's warm down here, so enjoying the evening. It's getting a little bit late down here. I know it's a little bit earlier down off there on the West Coast right now, I'm assuming.
So, Matt, who
yeah,
are you
exactly.
running against in Alabama?
Well, at this point, I don't have any primary opposition, but and I don't think I will, but in the general election, I'll be facing Congresswoman Terry Sewell. She went to college with the President of the United States at Harvard, and she's also a sorority sister. She was a sorority sister of Michelle Obama also. She has been a puppet for the Obama administration on anything and everything the president's agenda has been done. Like recently with the Affordable Health Care Act, she's been touting how great it is throughout the 7th District and getting low-information voters and elderly people to show up to these meetings and get them signed up. She seems to be the only one in our delegation doing that, though. So.
Yeah. But, you know, at least there, you know, we have Congresswoman Doris Mastui out here who I don't think she's capable of helping anybody. So, but, yeah. But, you know, Matt's district is fun because it's Birmingham, Montgomery, that area there, and it's going to be a fun race. We're going to have some fun with this one. So I'll be going back to Alabama soon here.
So, Matt, what would you consider the issues that you are interested in that made you decide to run for Congress?
Well, the economy. A friend of mine texted me a couple months ago. He said, I just got laid off. And the last presidential election, he voted for President Obama, voted for Terry Sewell, and now he realizes being laid off and he can't get a job. He can't afford Obamacare. He couldn't afford insurance in the first place. And I'm doing it for people like him because a lot of the jobs we have in this district are service jobs, are low paying, and there's not a lot of industry. There's not a lot of small businesses in this area, with Tuscaloosa, Alabama being the exception of that. If you go to downtown Birmingham right now, it's horrible. There's nothing down there except hospitals. There's very few small businesses. And down to the Black Belt region south of here, there's very, very few businesses, more or less industry. And people are being forced to live off the government because there's no other way to bring income in. And the Democrats have them where they want them. You know, they're providing their paychecks. They're providing everything for them. And they keep voting them because of that. But our party, the Republicans, have not come in and tried to solve that answer. And that's where I come in, because somebody needs to sit down and care about these Americans.
I agree wholeheartedly. What about you, Rodney?
Oh, I totally agree. That's why, I mean, the first time I've ever met Matt, he was on our Tuesday night radio show with Parental Sovereignty with Jennifer Montrose and Scott Osborne. And I had you know, my mother-in-law, who lives just north of Matt back there, is, you know, messaging me that once I get back to Alabama, she wants to help on the campaign and stuff. So I get to go back and visit her and stuff. But, you know, you listen to him talk, and it's like, that's Matt. There's no political spin with him. He's doing it for the right reason, you know. So
what is why don't you share with the listeners what your background is, Matt?
I'm originally from the state of Georgia. My dad was in the Army and stuff. And I learned at an early age patriotism and love for country. And I grew up around the world. And then I joined the Navy back in the late 90s. Served there for 11 years. Got into the University of Alabama. And went to Alabama on the GI Bill and stuff. Interned in politics and stuff. I'm chairman of the West Alabama Young Republicans, and I'm also on the state committee here for the Republican Party here in the state. And that's who I am. You know, I've always had a love for my country and stuff. And I see this area I'm living in now, and it's gone downhill because my grandmother grew up in Birmingham, and I can remember when she was living, she would tell me stories as a kid how great Birmingham used to be, you know, how many steel mills, how vibrant the city was, and it's not vibrant anymore. And it's because of Democratic policies that have happened. And I see the rest of our state prospering, and why can't we prosper? Birmingham is the largest city in the state, and it's not doing well, and it shouldn't be that way. It should be the center of the state, and it should be the heartbeat of the state, and I want to try to make it like that again.
You mentioned that it was Democratic policies that got Birmingham in the predicament it is. Do you have any, you know, specifically that you'd like to work to change if elected?
Can you repeat the question again, please?
You mentioned that it was Democratic policies that got Birmingham into the situation it's in today. And my question is which one of those policies would you like to work on reversing or changing in some way if you are elected to Congress?
Well, the first basic thing we have to fix is the infrastructure in the downtown area. The infrastructure down there is absolutely horrible. We have tons of buildings down there that are crumbling. They're falling down. They're eyesores. We could have small businesses down there. We could have hotels. We could have conference centers. We could have all that stuff. And if you go south of here in the Black Belt, there's absolutely nothing because there's no infrastructure. If we brought infrastructure in there, we could have more industry come in. Those industries provide jobs. Those people want to live in the small towns down there, which in return helps small businesses and stuff. And that's where we have to start. I've told people as I campaign, when I'm elected, this isn't going to get resolved in 2 years up in Washington. It's not. It's going to take time. It's going to be a process. It took 50 years to destroy this. It might take another 50 years to rebuild it. But we have to start today because the longer we wait, the worse it's going to get.
I agree.
Rodney, you got any questions, Rodney?
Well, no, I
feel like
I'm
doing the
know?
Interviewer part.
Yeah, I'm letting you,
Okay.
I could interview him, but he's kind
important.
Of my candidate, so,
Yeah, it's complicated. Yeah, I think it's important when we have people on the show who are running for office that we give them time to talk about what they plan to do and what they'd like to do. You know, I think it's important.
You know, and I agree with the way he's looking at it because, it's when him and I talk today, it's just you have to start somewhere. He's right. It's taken decades to get as bad as it is. You know, I mean, up here in California, Brian, you drive north up into Humboldt County, used to be a flourishing area until they shut down timber. Penchant for shutting down the industry that is the biggest portion of jobs, no matter where you go. If oil is your biggest employer, they want to shut down oil. If it's timber, they want to shut down timber. If it's like they claim to be trying to get jobs for Americans, and they continuously keep regulating out the very businesses that are supposed to be there providing those jobs. You know, now
when you say they,
where
you're talking about
where
the
he lives,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I haven't
met
a Republican yet that wants to shut down business.
I've never met a Democrat that wants to shut down business.
Well, they don't say they're going to shut down business. They regulate you out. We've got AB 32 coming. How many farmers and how many construction workers and truckers are going to go out of business in California because they can't attain the carbon footprint, required by AB 32? Or,
now, we've talked about regulation before, and I think the problem is the problem I have with a lot of conservative viewpoint is you use a blanket generalization. You just talk about regulations as if they are all bad. And I'm sure that we can all agree that there are important regulations. Like, for example, let me give you a small example. In the mid-80s, there was a blanket company making blankets for infants that were incredibly flammable. So I think we can all agree that we shouldn't allow businesses to make flammable infant blankets. So we have to be able to come to a place, and I don't think this is ever going to happen as long as Republicans use the word they for Democrats and as long as Democrats use the word they for Republicans, we're
well,
never going to be able
I
to sit down at a table.
If I can chime in a minute, now we're losing jobs here in Alabama to the coal industry because of government regulations, and I wouldn't dare try to compare that to a baby's blanket. Most of our coal in our state is exported out of the state. Very little of it is used for power anymore because natural gas is cheaper right now, so we're using natural gas to power our power plants right now, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And we get all these people, they're like, we lost 500 jobs, they got 1,000 more they're trying to lose. And we have a lot of coal in this district, and where's the Democrats at? They're running away. They're not trying to sit down here and trying to save these jobs. And these are jobs. These are hardworking Americans and stuff. And some of these coal mines are unionized, but these people mm-hmm. are losing their jobs. And some of this stuff is some of this coal is used for iron ore and stuff, and mm-hmm. steel here in America. And if we keep deregulating this stuff and we don't use coal anymore, we're going to be getting everything from overseas, because at some point we have to use that coal to produce steel. And those steels build buildings, all those buildings downtown San Francisco, steel, and right there in California. And we have to depend on it. And it's places like Alabama that's providing that basic necessity from the earth to get that done. But if we keep regulating it and having the government step in, well, you can't do this, you can't do this, you're putting people out of work, and then you're affecting a whole industry there.
Now, I have a question for you, because I'm unfamiliar with the practices of the coal companies in Alabama. Are you guys mining for coal, or are they just blowing the top off mountains? Because there's two ways of getting it, right?
Right. We're blowing the tops off mountains and stripping it out.
Yeah. And when they do that, I mean, see, I feel, you know, I feel the pain of the people in your district who are losing their coal jobs. And but for me, the coal companies cannot tell me, or you or anyone else, that when we blow the mountain and we get the coal out, that we can stop the bad stuff that we use to do this practice from getting in our creeks and our aquifers. Now, it's a hard thing, because I'm trying to be as neutral as possible on this one, but it is, we cannot, in my opinion, my humble opinion, we cannot, you know, destroy our creeks, and especially our aquifers, when we already have a shortage of water in the United States, you know, to make sure that a certain amount of people can continue to have jobs. Now, it's
well,
a hard thing.
I guess my concern is, my major concern is this, and I'll give you a great example of this. We have smokestack steam plants in Alabama. EPA came mm-hmm. in and said, hey, put these things up there so it can regulate the steam, the coal, and the natural gas coming out, so it doesn't give all these emissions to the air and the water and stuff. They put mm-hmm. them on there. Now the EPA wants to come in and add more and more and more. There has to be a point where you got to stop. If the EPA would get it right the first time and said, hey, we want to protect that river, great. Here's what you got to do to protect that river. Okay, company comes in, they spend the money, they put the technology in, they do it. And then the EPA comes back again and goes, okay, now we're going to have some more regulations on top of that. Now we need you to do this and this. There comes a point when the government needs to get it right the first time, and we don't do that. And I have an issue with that.
I think you stated that very well, and I would be, you know, it would be hard for me to disagree with that. I think one of the problems, too, that, and me and Rodney have talked about this before, is there seems to be, within the conservative community, this idea that business does what's best for the people and not for the bottom line. And my problem is that a lot of these regulations we have that we've developed over the years since the EPA was founded by, who was that, Rodney? Richard Nixon? We have companies that do whatever they can to lie about the amount of waste that they are putting in our creeks and our aquifers.
Well, Brian,
I think it's a very hard.
If we go on the premise that yes, there are companies out there that lie, cheat, and steal for the pure profit bottom line margin, and we agree, because your comment that, you know, we Republicans always just say they regulate and we don't like any regulation. I don't know any Republicans, and I sure as hell am not a Republican that says all regulations are bad. If you're lying, cheating, and stealing, and we got to regulate you to stop, that's all fine and good. The problem is, I've never met a Democrat that thinks any regulation is bad. It goes overboard. We're way past the implementation of the EPA when lumber industries are gone, the railroad is gone, the coal industry is gone if they had their choice, you know, oil and gas would be gone if they have their choice. Truckers, dump trucks, buses, I mean, they go overboard. Gold panning in El Dorado County is banned because it might stir up and hurt some fish.
You can't gold pine?
You're gold dredging.
Oh,
that's,
I did
dredge.
That as a kid. That's fun.
Yeah. Well, and so they banned that. And, you know, it's just over-regulation doesn't fix it. Matt, you'll find this hysterical. When I used to putting myself through college, working at a Shell gas station here in California, and it was a company called Thule Oil. They had 14 Shell gas stations. And the government came in and changed the regulations for gasoline to add an additive called MTBE, only in California, the only one making it. And we all had to retrofit our stations. And I know for a fact it cost about $1.8 million per station to retrofit to MTBE. 5 years
later.
And
how long was that in existence? Yeah, 5 years.
For five years. Then the government came along and said, oh, crap. MTBE is a caustic, corrosive material. It's eating through the containers in the ground, poisoning the groundwater, and it's our fault. We have to change and get rid of MTBE, and it costs $8.3 million per station to fix the poisoned groundwater. The Shell station had to pay for it for following government overregulation. That's
no,
what,
and we've
talked
about this, Rodney. You know that I am not someone who believes that all regulations are good. And I do think that there are a lot of regulations that are just bureaucratic nightmares that, you know, create a whole lot of headaches for Americans who are just trying to start businesses and employ their fellow Americans. It's just hard for me because I think what it is when we talk about regulations, and I mean we as the universal we, all of us, when we speak about regulations, people aren't very specific. And normally the people who do, they do have things specifically they have problems with. And that's what I always try to get to when I talk to people about regulations, what is your issue with them so I can better understand them. Because I'm from California. We don't have coal here. I know nothing of that except for what I watch on television. So I always like to get the specifics so I can better understand the situation.
Well, you know, back in April 2011, we had a horrible tornado hit Alabama, absolutely horrible. And it destroyed a lot of property in the Tuscaloosa and Birmingham area. Well, after that, all the government officials got together and they said, okay, we're going to rebuild do the rezone stuff. We're going to rebuild the building structures. You want to rebuild. We're going to do all the codes. And everyone went out and met those wickets. And I don't care what type of regulations the government implements. When you get something that bad come through, nothing's going to stop it. Nothing's going to be strong enough to stop destroying property. It's kind of like if you get a 9.0 earthquake hit in San Francisco. San Francisco's done. There's no regulation that can prevent that disaster from happening. And my point being is there comes a point when you got to say, you know what? We did the best we could, and it works. And if something historical like that comes through, or property is going to be destroyed. And my point is, again, overregulation. We're still trying to get Tuscaloosa rebuilt right now because of overregulation.
Yep. And Brian, we got the timber industry, and you and I with the Delta, Brian. What's the governor's fix for the Delta? Is a new water pipe?
Oh man!
Underground.
I've stopped listening because I have not heard. You know, if it comes from the governor, he takes just as much money from Metropolitan Water as anyone else does. You know, and one of the things I always try to help people get to is understanding why these laws are being brought to the table, why they're being pushed. And it's not normally by the legislators who, you know, supposedly write them or put them forward in committee. We've come to a place, and I think that my problem is I think money in politics is far worse for the American people than regulation, because I can't remember the last time a act came through the Congress that really benefited you know, your average American. And I'm talking about a Republican-held House. I'm talking about when the Democrats held it towards the end of Bush's terms. I mean, they did nothing. And they came into office, oh, we're going to do stuff, and they did nothing. And I can't remember the last time Congress did anything whatsoever of any value for the average American. I see a lot of legislation that benefits multinational corporations. I see a lot of you know, benefits towards, you know, different socioeconomic brackets. But to be honest, I'm a little disillusioned when it comes to Congress at this point.
Well, I'm not making an excuse for Congress here, but I think we also have to look at the fact that state and local governments have to take some responsibility for that also. I mean,
oh, definitely.
I wouldn't dare go blame Washington for the issues that California has. I lived out there for 3 years, and y'all have numerous issues out there, numerous debt, numerous problems, and a lot of it has been because of California doing it to themselves.
Oh, definitely. And I was actually, when we were talking about regulation, I was going to bring up the fact that, you know, I think that a lot of people in California who talk about regulations, I know what they're talking about, because we are, not only do we have the federal regulations, but we have a plethora given to us by Sacramento. And then if it's not given by Sacramento, it's given by the counties. And if it's not getting, you know, given by the counties, it's given by the city councils. It's difficult to be in this state at times.
Yeah, that's true. Matt, one of our things out here, that God bless Alabama, hope you guys never have to deal with it, is the political friend zone. We have, Brian, the commissions, and you usually get appointed to a commission because you helped the right guy, and they could pay upwards of $100,000 a year, and you might have to do something twice a year in a meeting, but what you're supposed to do on the commission depends on what the commission's for, like, say, Coastal Commission for rules and regulations for the coastline or something like that.
Or
just
the Energy
Monterey,
Commission? Mm-hmm.
From Monterey to Pismo Beach, there is 18 overlapping commissions totaling 94 people, all making in excess of $80,000 to $120,000 a year, and they can't even actually pass regulation because they overlap each other. And
and
then they create a commission up where I live in Tahoe.
Advisory.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. So
while we got Matt on the phone, what are some other things that you, if elected, that you would like to work on for the state of Alabama and for America?
Veterans. Right now, because of the federal government downsizing our Department of Defense, we're having numerous veterans come into the system right now. And unfortunately, we don't have enough personnel to out there to take care of these veterans at this time. And to me, that's a major issue we have to work on.
I couldn't agree more. You know, in my local area, we had a VA that was scheduled to close here in Livermore, and it is actually a fantastic. It's out. It's away from the city. It's a very large campus. It's very beautiful. It's very peaceful. And a lot of the veterans who frequent this facility, if it had closed, would have had to go all the way to San Jose, which I'm sure doesn't mean anything to you. But that's about how long, Rodney? About 40 minutes without traffic?
With traffic, it's 2 hours.
Yeah. So I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that...
I'm glad you brought up San Jose, because when I was stationed out at Naval Air Station Lemoore, I had the honor of going to San Jose to the hospital one day up there, Veterans Hospital,
mm-hmm.
to go visit with wounded warriors up there.
Okay.
And that is a dynamic facility that serves the Bay Area.
It is.
It really is.
It is. The one in there's also one in San Francisco that I my grandfather, he fought in the Korean War. We had to take him up there about 2 years ago, and that, too, was a very nice facility.
And some of the facilities are well-manned, and they're well taken care of. They're taking care of all the patients coming through there, and I'm happy for that. But I look at other areas like the Tuscaloosa area. We have a VA hospital here. We have one doctor for East Mississippi and West Alabama for everyone, all the veterans that have served Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get an appointment over there for 3 months sometime, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I had my physical a couple months ago, and I was sitting there talking to my doctor, and it was just me and him, and he says, "How's it going?" And I says, "Well, here's what's going on with me." He said, "Great." He says, "Can I talk to you offline real quick?" And he says, "We need some help." He says, "We're just not getting what we need over here as far as personnel goes."
Mm-hmm.
And when you're hearing that from somebody in the system, you know there's
yeah.
an issue. And people are like, "Well, we've already increased the budget." Well, I hate to tell you this, we're going to have to increase the budget more. I'm not for increasing the budget in the government at all and increasing taxes, but without increasing taxes, without increasing the budget, I think we need to take the budget away from other things in the government that we're really overpaying for and take care of our veterans, take care of our military personnel. I mean, these guys bust their rear end for us every day, 24 hours a day. Some of them have paid the ultimate sacrifice and died for our country. And the least common courtesy thing we can do is take care of them.
Yep. I think that then they're the most important ones, you know. We're trying, for right or for wrong, agree or disagree, Obamacare is providing insurance for people who need insurance, but we've got veterans who are sitting without medical care that deserve it greatly because their medical care is dependent on them being overseas defending our country.
Well, you never miss the chance to take a shot at Obamacare. I'm sorry. I know we're talking about something serious, but I swear this man never misses the opportunity to take a shot at Obamacare.
Well,
I have a question for you, Matt. Have you ever held any office, or is this your first shot?
This is my first shot.
Okay.
The Republican Party in our state does not want to touch this district. And like I said, I'm the
yeah,
chairman.
Yeah, Rodney was giving me the numbers.
Right. I'm the chairman of the West Alabama Young Republicans. I'm on the county commission. I'm on the state. I'm on the county level. And I'm also on the state committee. And I was like, am I going to run here? No one ran. I said, you know what? I am not going to let my party lay down and just give it away. Not going to do it. It's wrong for us to do that. We got to, you know, these are Americans over here. Just like anybody else in the state, and they deserve good representation in Washington.
What is, how long have you been, when did you announce your candidacy? How long ago?
There was a newspaper article that came back out on September 19th here in Alabama where I announced that I would be seeking political office for U.S. Congress.
All right, so you've been campaigning for a while. What is your least favorite thing about campaigning?
Raising money.
I've never met someone who didn't give that answer. I hated it. I ran for office. I didn't even want to ask my family members, let alone perfect strangers. It is horrible. Horrible.
Well, I'll tell you, raising money online is probably the easiest thing to do because you're not looking at the person, you're not talking to them
yeah.
physically, and it's great.
Yeah.
You can ask
what's
thousand
your,
people one time
what's
for
your
money.
Favorite thing about campaigning?
My favorite campaign thing about campaigning is getting out of the district and talking to people and making a difference in their lives. When you can touch someone's heart, it was all worth it. It was all worth it.
Now, me and Rodney have talked about this more times than I could even tell you. But in both of our experiences, there is nothing more important while campaigning than face-to-face press in the flesh, meeting people, and listening to their concerns. A lot of people have had the same representative for 10, you know, 14, 20 years. They've never met them. You know, they've never talked to them. And it's such a powerful thing, not only in getting your name out in the community, but also for helping those who run for office really get the pulse of the district in which they're trying to represent.
Well, I absolutely agree. I was in Washington this past week, and I noticed a lot of the senators and congressmen, they're inaccessible.
Yes.
And one thing I want to do if elected is I want to make sure that my office is transparent. I want to make sure a couple times a week I'm in my office in Washington where my door's open and my constituents can come by if they're in the area and sit down and talk to me. Not talk to my chief of staff, sit down and talk to me. And I think it's also important a couple times during the month you're down in the district and you have a town hall meeting and you're going throughout the district and you're meeting with people. And asking them how it's going and honestly find out what's going on. And when you say you're going to get back to them, get back to them. Because I notice a lot of politicians, and I don't think they mean to do it, but we all get caught up in that routine. A lot of times staffers, representatives from the campaigns or the or from the congressman or senator's office will just go out and see how the districts are doing. I think that's the wrong thing. You have to get out there and talk to your constituents and make that connection with them to let them know that you that not that you're putting on a show, but you really do care. You know, you're not up there for you. You're up there for them.
I have one more question for you before Rodney takes over. But I'm going to ask this of every person we talk to who's running for Congress. And my question is, would you vote? If you were elected to Congress, would you vote on a bill that said, as long as we don't have a budget by X day, congressmen will not get paid after that date? Would you vote for that act of legislation?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. That's one of the one things that is really bothering me. And you know, we have this problem real bad in the state with our assembly here in California. How long have we ever, I mean, Rodney, have we ever had a budget passed on a, by the day it's supposed to be passed?
Well, that's kind of a trick question because, Matt, for you out here, we passed the law that they don't get paid if they don't pass a budget. And what they've done now is learn to hide money, shift money, borrow money, projected money. It's not a tax,
yep.
It's a fee. And they call it a balanced budget. They actually,
yeah.
they dropped the portion that represents unfunded pension mandate from the budget and shifted it to another department so that it's not in the budget. And that is a huge volume of money. And they go, oh, look, budget's balanced. Anyone retires right now and the government's screwed. But, you know, Governor Brown's out there going, we're good. We're great. Everything's cool. And I'm like, well, what? So,
I
yeah.
think one of the problems
learned,
that
they've learned to play it. They've learned to play a crazy game
in California, Rodney. One of the problems I think we're facing is that we had what was it, 5-7 years where things were really rough, really rough. I mean, we're talking about billions, you know, $10 billion, $20 billion, you know, over budget going into the process, and now that we're only a few billion, which is still horrendous, but in comparison, I think a lot of people look at the situation. I think this also is why Governor Brown has such a high approval rating, which I don't really understand personally, is because things were so bad that it makes the situation we're in now look like a rose garden when it's really not.
Yep. Well, you know, and one thing I like, by the way, Matt, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. You know,
yes, thank you, Matt.
Brian, how many
and
times
Matt,
have we interviewed? Well, we've interviewed how many people running for office, and you ask them a direct question, something that's it's a straight up yes or no, and they give you
this long answer to get around the answer. And Matt's answer was yes.
They have nothing to do with the question you asked. Yeah. Matt, real quick, before we forget, where can people find, you know, people in your district, if there's anyone listening or if you share this, where can people find information on you, Matt?
They can go to www.mattjenkinsforcongress.com.
Excellent. I always think that's important to get out there.
Yep. And, Brian, in the future here, you'll be hearing me doing our show from Alabama with Matt. And actually, first weekend of March, I'll be broadcasting from CPAC in Washington, D.C. with Matt. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. CPAC, you know what's my favorite thing about CPAC? Is when the when the agenda is leaked. That's my favorite part of CPAC. Is when, because MSNBC goes crazy, and CNN goes crazy, and I'm just like, really? Don't they have the right to make their own agenda?
Well, didn't you see how crazy California went when they quote unquote leaked the governor's budget?
Yeah,
it's last week. All right. And then, you know, for everybody listening, too, you know, MattJenkinsForCongress.com, and, you know, anybody can help on this campaign from anywhere in America, you'll agree with, Brian, is we get guys like Brian, guys like Matt, they're going to help make sure Nancy Pelosi does not ever regain the gavel.
Who's Nancy Pelosi?
What?
I just call her Skeletor, but, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to use that joke for a while now. Matt, one more time. What district are you running in the great state of Alabama?
The 7th Congressional.
7th Congressional.
And that encompasses what? Birmingham, Montgomery,
that is, the main areas it encompasses the center of Jefferson County, which is Birmingham. Okay. South of the river in Tuscaloosa, the Black Belt region, and west of Montgomery.
Is Black Belt a reference to coal?
No, Black Belt.
Okay.
Black Belt region is a reference to the dirt south of here. It's very, very rich.
Okay.
Agriculture and stuff. It's kind of like what y'all have in the Central Valley.
Okay.
Out there in California.
We call that AgCor land in California. All right.
You there?
I am.
Cool. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Thank you very much, Matt. I look
thank
forward
you,
to
Matt.
Seeing you soon, and thank you for coming on the show.
Hey.
Keep up the hard work.
Hey, gentlemen. Y'all have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Anyway, Brian, it's 9:30. I'm getting ready to wrap
yes,
up
sir.
Soon. Wait a minute here. I was talking to Matt, and he was on the radio show before, and then we started talking about running the campaign, and him and I have been talking, you know, daily now, and it's just straight answers, you know, pretty straightforward guy. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little different.
No, you know,
so.
When you are like us, and you know, you're meeting and talking to these people, and you're a part of the process. I don't think a lot of people understand how infrequent it is that you actually get someone running for an office or holding an office really give you straight answers.
Yeah, and then, you know, that's what I like about him is it's pretty straightforward.
Excellent.
Ask him whatever you want. He doesn't really think about the answer. He just gives you an answer.
Yeah.
So talked about it before that in today's world, politics has gotten so bad and politicians have done so much garbage that I don't care if you're left or right. All I want is a straight answer from you. We can talk. Even if I disagree with your answer. I don't even have to like your answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
At
just
least you're honest.
Tell me the
straightforward.
Truth.
Yeah.
So
well,
that's
know,
what we're
going like
to go to Alabama
that,
and show them. In District 7, you're getting the real Matt. So.
It's like they say, what is it? The devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know,
so
they don't have to agree with
go,
everything
Rodney,
Matt stands for, but they know what they're getting with Matt. So, yeah.
Exactly. Next week, I think that we should get some people to call in, and we should talk about who's going to run, not who's going to win the nomination, but who's going to run on both sides
2016.
Yeah, that's when it is.
Okay.
Right? Or have I got my math off?
No, no.
I'm talking about the presidency.
I
don't want to talk about who's going to win.
Who said they're going to run or who on the grapevine might run?
Let's just talk about let's not just talk about who is going to run. Let's talk about who should run. That's even better.
I like that.
Yes, sir.
That's my.
All right, Robbie.
Yep,
well,
like
it is always a pleasure. And I just want to thank
everyone.
We don't have any.
I don't think we have anyone else on, right? Anyone else?
No,
anyone
you're the one on. I don't see that.
All right.
Excellent. Well, hey, thanks, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Matt and Scott, for calling, and good luck on your races, gentlemen.
Yeah, and, Brian, as usual, we next week, let's not only the long list, laundry list, but I'm going to try and get a hold of that leaked document of CPAC agenda.
Oh, yeah, do that for me. We'll have some fun.
Yeah, well, I've never been back there, you know.
Oh, really?
This is
your first CPAC?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah, I've never bothered going back there. And what's really funny is Matt asked me, you know, knowing inside and outside Washington. Well, I only know it because of who I've sent there. I've only been once, believe it or not, in 20 years in politics. I've only been to Washington when Sarah's son had his 8th grade graduation.
Fantastic.
I'll be
all right, Robbie,
back in Alabama, back in Washington. And yep. So, everybody, thank you very much for listening tonight. Next week, next Monday, same time, same place, same bat channel. Thank you guys very much. Thanks, Brian.
See you.